The College Experience SEC College Basketball Preview on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by MyBookie.ag. The MyBookie Turkey Day free play is back this Thanksgiving. That's right, up to a $250 free bet on the Texans Lions game exclusively at MyBookie.ag. Promo code SGP only at MyBookie.ag. We're also brought to you by Thrive Fantasy. Thrive Fantasy is a new daily fantasy sports app built specifically for player props. Download the app in the App Store and use the promo code SGP for an instant deposit match up to $50. That's thrivefantasy.com, promo code SGP. Sign up and prop up today. We're also brought to you by Ace Per Head. Ace is the leader in paperhead providers, and they make it super easy for you to start your own sports book. Plus, Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free over at aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP. Welcome to the College Experience SEC College Basketball Preview. My name is Colby Swinging Dantabase Dant, aka Pick Don D. That's not a pick. This is a pick. And we're joined by college basketball and DFS guru. Yes, the rooftop IPA drinking, homebrew making, Tobacco Road a living, the free lock given, former Herndon Basketball League MVP. Give it up for NC Nick in the place to be.
What's up, man? What's going on? How we doing?
Doing great, man. I what's that tour guide's name in Crocodile Dundee? I need to give you his name.
The old guy?
Yeah.
Mickey?
No, Mick Dundee is
I don't know, man. Wait, you call me old?
I don't know. I just think, yeah, you know, you can tell urban legends about me around North Carolina. All right.
I'm your older brother, but it's only a couple of years, man. All right.
His name is Walter.
Walter. Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
But that doesn't have a great ring to it.
What about Donk?
There we go. Donk.
I'm not big enough to be Donk. I'm not a freaking meathead.
Patty C is definitely Donk.
if anybody was Donk. What about Donk's buddy, the other guy who he's getting approached by the drug dealers and he like calls Donk and he's like, I've got a Donk.
I don't know what his name would be, but maybe you're that guy with the mohawk who gets a knife thrown through his head. Or like through his hair, not his head, just the right. Mohawk. I could see you being that. What are the odds of you getting out of here with that jacket on? No. Right now, all these SEC fans are tuning in. They're like, what the fuck are we listening to? And that's part of the fun of the college experience. But yes, we are breaking down the SEC conference. They had, I think them in the pack. What's that?
What's it count? Five days.
What today is Friday. So yeah, we are four days away from tip off. The NBA draft just happened. The SEC and the Pac-12 led the NBA and led all the colleges in first round draft picks. Isn't that shocking
for the Pac-12? Definitely.
Yeah. I think SEC, they each had six,
not as much, you know, look, if you look at SEC recruiting, like if we pull up the freshmen coming in this year, I think it was out of the top 11 recruiting classes, the SEC has six of them.
Well, you know,
that's not as surprising. It's more surprising with the Pac-12, I'd say.
Well, I think the SEC, well, I mean, come on. Will Wade's caught on a wiretap, given some money. Bruce Pearl, every stop he's been in his career, there's been some advances. I don't know about the other schools. I mean, I could see, I don't know. I don't think Frank Martin's paying people to go to South Carolina.
Because and he's also not bringing in the top recruits. They're the top recruits. So I mentioned six top recruiting classes in the top 11, and those teams: Arkansas, Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee.
Mm.
You know, these aren't basketball powerhouses.
It wouldn't surprise me if they got a little kickback.
Hey, man, it's how you do business down there.
Well, I mean, it happens everywhere now. I mean, I guess. I would tend to bet that it probably doesn't happen as much in the Pac-12 because people don't care enough.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it wouldn't surprise me at USC and UCLA.
Well, Arizona.
Yeah. Well, they care. They care there. You got to follow where they extremely care.
And you know, Washington has gotten a lot of big time recruits of late also, and they've never had much of a basketball program. So it just makes you wonder, you know,
wouldn't shock me if they paid either. No, but I don't know. I don't know that I'm ready to say that. I would say Oregon more. I would say Oregon, Arizona, and probably USC or UCLA. That would be my four.
It's not even the school playing. It's more the shoe companies and who they're funneling players to because of deals they have with schools. You know, so sometimes in a way the school's actually kind of clean. I think they know what's going on, but they're not, you know, as obvious about it as Will Wade, and they're not exchanging cash directly to players and players' teams. You know,
well, I sure hope no coach. Look, if you're a coach in college basketball,
don't be that dumb, right?
Yeah. How can you be that dumb?
Right.
I don't care if you got to have a friend of yours take some cash and drop it, you know, in a underground parking garage. I don't know, but I'm saying you just don't have it come from your account. You know what I mean?
It's freaking 2020. You should know that you're always on camera and everything could be recorded. So, you know, with these guys, you're getting caught on wiretaps. You're like, why the hell are you saying that stuff on the phone?
Yeah.
I'm not a criminal here. I'm no criminal mastermind, but I've watched enough shows on TV to know that you might be tapped.
You'd be like Joe Pesci in Casino, where he's just like, he's got like a newspaper up to his mouth on a golf course. And he's like, did you get the fucking guy? You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't want the people in the helicopter to see him, but yeah, you're right. Well, let's talk some SEC basketball. I like this conference. I think it, you know, probably about 10, 15 years ago, I thought they had some really dark days maybe, but I really feel like they're kind of a deep conference. Even when Florida was winning the Natty with Joakim Noah, I really felt like they were kind of falling off a little bit. There wasn't depth in the conference, but once they, you know, we saw Frank Martin go to South Carolina and Ben Holland go to Mississippi State and a couple of these other schools, I feel like it really added depth to this conference. And I really enjoy watching the SEC conference now for college basketball.
Yeah. The coaching is a lot better than it used to be, you know? And yeah. So whenever you have, you know, top level coaching, the teams are going to be better, obviously. So yeah. And this year, I think, you know, we were talking for a few minutes before we started recording, but so there's a definite top tier of, I think, three schools. And that is just a jumbled mess where, you know, good luck trying to predict the order of finish here, because I said like 4 through 13, you know,
think you can make the case 4 through 14.
You could, because there's probably not an obvious doormat here like there is in some other conferences. So I think that's going to make it a fun conference to watch this year, because I think a lot of these teams, you know, have talent, or, you know, some of them have experience. Some of them have a lot of fresh faces, you know? So like you mentioned, there were a lot of draft picks, and that, you know, that means that they lost a lot, but they got a lot of people coming in here too. Not only, you know, the true freshmen, but also a lot of transfers. So it's going to be a wild ride. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's start things off here. Let's go straight from the top. I think we have the same team. I'm assuming we have the same team here.
Yeah. Let's not get crazy. Kentucky. Come on.
Yep. I got the, hey, last year they lost to Evansville in Lexington. You know?
Not only did they lose to Evansville, they also dropped a game to Utah, and it wasn't even a very good Utah team.
Yeah. But, you know, and Evansville didn't win a game in the Missouri Valley, but it's a learning curve there. I think, you know, what's interesting here is he's bringing in a couple transfers there. Is he starting to catch up with this? Is he starting to catch on to maybe the one and dones aren't the way. Well, he still has like 30 freshmen, but mixing in Jacob Toppin from a brother of Obi Toppin from Rhode Island. You're seeing Oliver Starr or sorry, Starr Sar from
Olivier.
What's he's that?
French. Olivier. He's French. Oh, it's yeah. Not Olivier.
No, I'm still in football season, buddy. But yes. And then Davion Mintz from Creighton. Those guys are all key contributors from those teams.
So I'm definitely familiar with Olivier Sarr, watching him at Wake Forest, and that dude is a player. I don't know much about Toppin or Mintz. I think they'll probably be reserves coming off the bench. But Olivier Sarr has, you know, a good possibility to be the best player on Kentucky this year. He has a chance to be playing in the NBA here next year. So that transfer is key. You know, so they. Kentucky loses their top six guys from last year. You know, nothing crazy there, nothing completely new. So we're kind of getting used to that. But they do bring in the top recruiting class in the nation. That's highlighted by 2 5-star guards in BJ Boston and Terrence Clark. They should step right into that starting lineup along with Olivier Sarr and probably the one guy they have returning, Keon Brooks, the 6'7" forward. And then maybe that other 5th spot's kind of up for grabs between either a transfer or one of the other true freshmen. But look, they're, you know, the most talented team in the SEC, one of the most talented teams in the country again. And believe it or not, John Calipari is more than just a recruiter. He's actually a good coach. And so they'll take, you know, some bumps early in the year. But similar to last year, you know, where they dropped the Evansville game, the Utah game, but they finished 9-1 in the last 10 regular season games. And they were, you know, right there with anybody else ready to roll come March. So I expect a pretty similar year this year. Again, number one in the SEC.
Yeah. And I see they got your Richmond Spiders in a couple days here.
That's a game, man. That's an interesting game because Kentucky is going to be much better in February and March than they are in November. I'm interested in watching that because Richmond is solid. Do not sleep on the Spiders. That's going to be a fun game.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch that one. But yeah, you look at this team, and I think that, you know, BJ Boston's going to be a first round draft pick in what, a year?
Yeah. Probably one and done.
Yeah. Ask you perhaps as well. Terrence Clark, all those guys are going to be very interesting to watch. See how fast they can gel together. Once again, they're kind of like, you know, I hate to say this, but for you, cause I know you're a Duke fan, but you get these one and done. It's really hard to forecast the season for me. Like I look at it, I'm like, they're the most talented team. I'll put them at one, but I know that there's also a learning curve. And right. And you got to learn to gel with these players. It's like, dude, I was doing the breakdown of some really small conferences, and you get to like the 7th, 8th team, and they have like 20 transfers coming in. So it's like, it's really hard to predict it. It's like they have 2 returning players, like Sam Houston State or something has 2 returning players and 10 transfers, and I'm like, okay, I don't know what to tell you. I don't think they're going to be good, but they're JUCO transfers, so they're experienced.
Yeah, I mean the transfer portal is just crazy these days. You know, it started a couple of years ago. It seems like every year is just getting bigger and bigger, and there's so many people coming and going. It's hard to keep things straight. And you know, whenever a new team has that many new faces, that's when you have to look towards a coach.
Yeah.
You know, and with Calipari, you got a pretty good track record here. So I trust him to be able to whip his team into shape, you know, get all those pieces to come together. It's going to take some time, you know, and that's why there might be some struggles out of the gate for Kentucky and for Duke and for all these schools, you know, that now have so many fresh faces, especially this year where, you know, the regular season's been moved back some, you know, who knows how much practice these guys are getting in and, you know, who knows what kind of shape they're in and who knows what kind of familiarity they have with each other. So this year, especially even maybe more so than others, it could be a challenge, but you know, come when it matters in March, Kentucky should be right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's go to number 2. I got a feeling you're going to go with your ACC guy. I'm going to follow the money. I'm going to do LSU at my number 2 spot in the SEC.
By my ACC guy, do you mean Rick Barnes, the coach of Tennessee?
Yes. The former Clemson head coach.
Right. No, I have LSU 2 also. I have LSU 2, Tennessee 3.
Okay. We see eye to eye here. And I think the big one to see here is Cam Thomas, the freshman. Going to see how he fits with this LSU team. But you look around, Javonte Smart, Charles Manning Jr., Darius Days, Trendon Watford, and then getting Joshua Black from Georgetown as a transfer. Also Sharif O'Neal, son of Shaq from UCLA. I saw his waiver pass through the other day. So I think this team's incredibly talented. You're going to question how good Will Wade can coach in this one, because dude, you look at this team, I'll be honest. You look at it and you're like, this team might be better than Kentucky. They look better than Kentucky based on what we can see on paper. But once again, you don't know Kentucky's, you know, their talent is coming in, you know?
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. The question is how good of a coach is Will Wade? You know, the last 2 or 3 years, pretty much ever since he's been there, they've been loaded with players, man. They've had more talent than most teams in the SEC, but they haven't done a whole lot with that talent. Which is why I don't have them over Kentucky, you know, as a top school. But, you know, at one point last year, they had won 10 straight.
Yeah.
And you're watching them play like, man, you know, they're starting five. All five players are ballers. Like, you know, and they got some guys coming off the bench, too. Their depth is solid. It's like, these guys can be tough, you know. And then they finished 4-6 in their last 10. I don't know. It seems like he can never, you know, get them all on the same page for a long enough period of time. So talent alone, I think, puts them in the very top tier of this conference. But I am, you know, especially come tournament time, I might look to fade the Tigers just because I don't know how good of a coach Will Wade is. But look at the roster, the talent's there. And I do like that guy, Joshua Vaughn, coming in from Georgetown. I think he'll fit in nicely. I mean, pair him up with Days and Watford in the front court, and that's freaking solid.
Yeah.
You know, Javonte Smart and the five-star guard, Cam Thomas, coming in. They're loaded, man. You know, their roster's loaded.
And they're going to get tested Saturday night. This not tomorrow, but the following Saturday, November 28th. They are at St. Louis, who I was bullish on in the A-10. That's going to be a game. Circle that one. Yeah, though, I have LSU too. I think they're a better team than what Tennessee is. So I completely agree. Will Wade, though, if he can just coach, I think they could win the SEC. If he can outcoach Calipari, essentially, or just coach to that level, I think they can win the SEC.
They definitely have, you know, as good of a chance as anybody not named Kentucky.
Exactly. Okay. So now my number three is the Vols.
Same here.
Going with Rick Barnes' squad. I know a lot is riding on Jaden Springer, big time freshman coming in. Besides that, they got Pons back he's a four, 6'6", but Fulkerson is the big man that you know, really stood out from a season ago. Vescovi at the point and Josiah Jordan James at the three. All those guys make up a pretty good starting five if Springer pans out. But even if not, they bring in Victor Bailey Jr., transfer from Oregon, and also the Sacred Heart transfer in EJ Anosiki. So 15.7 points per game, 11.6 boards. I know it was at Sacred Heart, but come on, that's still impressive.
That's kind of like a JUCO guy, though. You never know when a guy steps up in competition that big. I mean, Sacred Heart, what conference are they in? The Northeast Conference or the...
I think what Northeast that would be.
It's one of the smaller conferences up there in the Northeast. So who knows what he'll, who knows how he'll play against, you know, top level competition like the SEC. But Tennessee, on the negative side, they lose their starting backcourt from a year ago with Lamonte Turner and Jordan Bowden graduating. But they do bring in 2 5-star guards, so that's certainly going to help.
What are the odds Alan Cooley perhaps maybe did a little Venmo to them? shout out to D-Gen only Alan Cooley, big Tennessee Vol fan.
I know he'll do whatever it takes to get a winner down there. So maybe, but yeah, so those two freshmen in the backcourt, along with the sophomore Santiago Vescovi, you know, there's definitely talent there. And I do like the big man Fulkerson. And yeah, they've, you know, Victor Bailey coming in from Oregon. He was a solid contributor there. He should do the same thing here. So, you know, they have depth. The coaching, I always thought Rick Barnes was a better recruiter than coach. You know, and that's kind of what he did at Texas also. But there's a lot to like here in Knoxville.
Yeah, the Vols open up against Charlotte. Your NC Nick, known for North Carolina. The 49ers got any chance in Knoxville come Wednesday?
No, I don't think so. I think Tennessee has top 10 in the country potential. You know, they might start. I'm not sure what their preseason ranking is. I don't really follow that ranking stuff. But they'll be a top 25 team all year. So no, I don't think the 49ers are going to hang.
All right. They get VCU on Friday. Also that one, maybe VCU can test them.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Tennessee starts 2-0 fairly easily.
You heard it first there, Vol fans. All right, guys, I want to tell you the College Experience SEC preview is brought to you by mybookie.ag. Thanksgiving is about traditions like turducken with mashed potatoes and betting on football with MyBookie's Turkey Day free play. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. MyBookie's third annual Turkey Day free play returns Thanksgiving Thursday. It's your chance to bet up to 250 risk-free dollars on the early Thanksgiving game between the Lions and the Texans. The Turkey Day free play is a no risk, all gravy wager on the full game spread. Pick the right team and you win. If your team is upset, your bet up to $250 is refunded before the next afternoon game. New players will get their first deposit matched halfway up to $1,000 to help add even more excitement to the greatest football weekend of the year. That's right. Make your first deposit, get some extra cash you can use on parlays, teasers, and props, prop bets all weekend long. I look, COVID's been fucking with us, but come on, this is still going to be the greatest weekend. All right. Use the promo code SGP in order to claim your bonus and your free bet. And the best part is that's only the beginning. My bookie has promotions all holiday weekend long. Turkey Day free play is Thanksgiving Thursday. That rolls into Black Friday boosted odds and finishes the holiday strong with buy one, get one free Cyber Monday Night Football. And that's why at my bookie, they call it football season is winning season. Check it out now. No risk, all gravy, baby. Don't forget to use the promo code SGP to claim your freebies. I mean, what a great look at this. We got college basketball tipping off Wednesday. You got 94 games tipping off at the moment. I know that probably won't be 94 because of COVID. You got all these college football games happening this weekend, and then starting on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, mixed with the NFL Thursday, Sunday. Just what a good time to be into sports. All right. Especially with COVID going on, you got to have something, some distractions. You're at home. You know what I mean? You know what I mean, right? NC Nick?
Not doing a big Thanksgiving get together, huh? It's going to be you, your gal, your dog, and your cat.
There we go, buddy. And I'm going to be watching, Gonzaga, Kansas. I'm going to be watching Texans, Lions. I think what the night game is Steelers, Ravens. That's always fun.
What does your Thanksgiving dinner look like for a man, you know, living in that situation without, you know, the big family coming or the big house to host, et cetera, et cetera?
I'll be honest, since COVID has hit, you know, I always lived on the go prior to that. And now that COVID's here, I've gotten into cooking some, so I think I'm going to do it up. And you know, I've actually never made stuffing and some of those traditional Thanksgiving Day things. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to go all out, probably have enough turkey. I'm going to buy a full turkey, probably have enough turkey for a few weeks.
All right. Yeah. This may be blasphemy this close to Thanksgiving, but I'm not a fan of turkey.
Wow.
I'd rather but what I am, my favorite side dish is the sweet potatoes. I can get down on some sweet potatoes.
Man, I completely disagree with that take. look, I'll eat sweet potatoes, but it's one of the last things I'd eat on a Thanksgiving table. You know, give me, I'm a mashed potato. Perfect. Dude, I'll eat mashed potatoes every day of my life and be happy. Like regular mashed potatoes are incredible. I don't need, you know what? And I don't even need gravy. I mean, I sometimes I'll throw some gravy on there, but I'm not the type of guy that if I'm ordering to go and they don't give me the gravy, psh, no big deal. I'm going to love it anyway.
Yeah. Well, I'd be a happy man if I could watch and bet on SEC basketball every day.
Well, you're going to have that opportunity starting Tuesday or starting Wednesday all the way. You know, you got the Egg Bowl. You got the Egg Bowl happening on Saturday. You got Alabama Auburn. I think it's Friday.
There we go.
And that's football. So, but let's basketball. Or let's go back to basketball here. All right. One is Kentucky. Two is LSU. Three is Tennessee. We've been agreeing on everything, and I hate it. All right. We've been agreeing on everything on the basketball court and everything and nothing on the dinner table. So,
well, things are about to get crazy here, I would assume, because like I said, and you know, when we're leading up to our rankings, our preseason rankings, I think at this point, I think everybody's going to have a different ranking. Who you got it for?
I have the Crimson Tide.
All right. So we disagree right now. So why do you have Alabama?
I like the first off the style of basketball they play.
You know, did you see today they got hit with some, what do they call them? Some penalties or, you know, some recruiting issues
in basketball or football?
Basketball.
That's hilarious to me. Only because I know it's probably going on in football too. Nate Oates, though, this guy was a stud at Buffalo. I think he's a good coach. So, I mean, that from the start, I do think he's one of the better coaches. But then you look at this team, and there's plenty of room for optimism. They were young last year, so you look at this and you say, okay. They're bringing back three guys who averaged double digits a season ago. Jaden Shackleford, any relation to Charles Shackleford? I wonder. John Petty. And actually Jordan Bruner wasn't with the team last year, but he was with Yale. And they decided that the Ivy League, if you listen to our Ivy League preview, they decided to be pussies and didn't have a basketball season. But then you have this Villanova transfer. So how will he end up, you know, in Quinterly at the point?
The backstory of Javon Quinterly?
No, what's that?
So he originally committed to Arizona. He was one of the players in the FBI probe that said he was getting the impermissible benefits. So when all that was happening at Arizona, he retracted his commitment to Arizona and went to Villanova. When that first year as a freshman at Villanova 2 years ago, because he sat out last year, I guess there were some frustrating tweets or frustrated tweets from him after a lack of playing time. And after, you know, that at midseason or so, he transferred out of Villanova. I guess he had a falling out with Jay Wright up there, and that's how he landed down in Tuscaloosa. So that's his story. You know, maybe he can put it all behind him because he is a five-star, or he was a five-star prospect at one point, but he seems to have a lot of baggage.
Interesting. I just like the way they play the game. Now I will say this, last year they were completely inconsistent. Hopefully they can work on that. But dude, when you go through, I was struggling. If you would have seen I actually wrote mine on a loose leaf piece of paper at first, and I had arrows going this way, that way for 4 through 12. So, by the way, Bama gets Stanford, not this Monday, but next Monday. Who are you going to take in that one?
I think I might lean towards the Cardinal. I'm not as high on Alabama as you. So I have Alabama finishing, seventh. Now last year they went 8-10 in the conference, 16-15 overall, and they finished ninth. I think they're going to miss Kira Lewis, the point guard from last year. I think he just got drafted in, I think it was the late first round, maybe early second. So I think they're going to miss him. I know they have Quinterly coming in, but I think they're going to miss, you know, the leadership that Lewis was offering. So I'm not quite as high on Alabama.
I'm going to guess you're going Auburn.
For my third?
For your fourth.
I'm sorry, my fourth. No, actually, I have Auburn at sixth. So,
okay.
Same with you. At first, I had no idea who I was going to go with. I'm going to go Florida, actually, at four.
Interesting. I have them at six. But okay. Let's talk some Gator basketball here.
Yeah, so they lose two guys. They lose two out of their top three scorers, Nembhard, the guard, and Kerry Blackshear, the power forward. I never thought Blackshear really fit in with the Gators. He was better at Virginia Tech before he transferred down there. But I think when you start your roster with Keontae Johnson
as a forward, stud, yeah,
and Noah Locke as guards, you know, both upperclassmen in a conference where there is so much turnover, you know, roster turnover here, I think those two key pieces are going to take Mike White's Gators pretty far. And they also have three transfers coming in.
Yeah, you know, and one of those lit it up in the Conference USA, Anthony Drugi. Is that how you pronounce that?
Yeah, for Louisiana Tech. Yeah. We also got Tyree Appleby from Cleveland State coming in. You know, once again, when you're making that big of a leap from are they in the Horizon League, Cleveland State, maybe?
No, they're not actually. Wait, are they? I just previewed. No. I think Youngstown State's in the Horizon League.
Okay. Either way, it's a big jump to the SEC. So who knows how he'll pan out. But I'm a big fan of Locke and Johnson to start the team. And I think the rising sophomore, the other 6'5 guard, Scotty Lewis, I think he's going to make a nice jump in his second year. I know Mike White, he seems like he's just kind of treading water down there, and he's been unable to get the program where it was under.
Yes, Donovan. It is the Horizon League, by the way. I'm an idiot.
Ah, there we go. Okay. I know a little bit about a little bit.
I just previewed it, but I previewed so many teams you forget where the fuck everything is. And there's been, they've added teams too. So
yeah. So, you know, I mean, I think with, like I said, with the continuity here and so much of these other schools losing a lot, I think Florida could, you know, slightly improve on their final standing a year ago and finish fourth.
Interesting. I got the Gators at six. I'm going to circle. You know, I think a key player is for them this year is Scotty Lewis.
Yeah.
Scotty Lewis or Trey Mann, one of those guys needs to step up and have a big season for them, because without that, I don't know. You're kind of hoping one of these transfers pans out. I got the Gators at six. At my five spot, I'm going to take you to Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Ooh, okay.
Where, our coach's name, what's his name? Musselman.
Yeah.
Exactly. Eric Musselman, son of former Timberwolf coach. Was it Bill Musselman? I believe.
I think so. It sounds right.
Former Golden State Warriors head coach. I remember we were watching this press conference of him and his, what he wanted to do at, it was me, you and a friend of ours, in the old damp basement, watching the press conference when he took the Warriors job. He's like, we're going to be running screens. We're going to be effort is going to be, and this was when the Warriors were trash. And yeah, I don't think he was aware that in the NBA, your effort is kind of horrible. You look at this team, dude, and I see a shit ton of transfers, but I see a ton of scorers, man.
Yeah, and I guess at least Musselman has some experience with a lot of transfers, because that's what he had at his previous stop in Nevada, right?
Yeah.
So I had Arkansas actually coming in at eighth. And, you know, part of that is just so many fresh faces there, you know. It's the most transfer heavy team of the conference. They lose one of the best players in the conference from a year ago in Mason Jones. And they also lose, you know, three other guys who played some pretty important minutes,
but they're all scorers. Like, I mean, come on, you're telling me when Kentucky and LSU play Arkansas, they're not going to be sitting there like, wow, every player on their team can score.
You know what I mean? I think Arkansas is a perfect example of a team that looks good on paper. I want to see how they come together, because I'm not buying it yet. You know.
Well, I can tell you what I am buying is I'm buying Isaiah Joe was a stud last year for them at 17 points a game, 4 boards, 1.4 steals per game.
He was a stud on a team that went 7-11 in the conference and tied for 10th. you know, so you have them jumping up.
That was big. Year one with Musselman though.
Yeah. Yeah. But every year is kind of like a new year with all these fresh faces. So, hey, look, I mean, they have a lot of talent.
I think I smell a bottle of bourbon on the line here.
What's the bet? I like it.
Who is your,
okay, hold on. So I have, you have them fifth, you said?
Yes.
And I have them eighth. So over under 6.5.
Done.
Their final standing.
Done.
Under that, you win. Over that, I win.
This team's so talented, they can finish first. All right.
Bring in the glory, the glory.
Yeah, I'll take that bet. Let's do another bottle of bourbon, buddy.
Okay, deal, man. I just don't see how they lose a best player and they jump up.
This team is better than Florida right now. If they play right now, you're taking Florida to beat Arkansas?
Definitely.
I'm taking Arkansas, buddy.
Hey, you know, you're looking at the piece of paper and all these stats have you getting a hard on over these stats. Stats don't mean shit when you're on the court. You know, how's this guy from Northern Kentucky or the guy from New Mexico, you know, or the guy from Stetson? You know, he averaged 10 points a game at Stetson. Big freaking deal.
Buddy, you look, you talk a big talk over there. You act like, you know, Mike White's got this Florida Gator team winning national championships or something. They went 19-12 a season ago. 19-12. All right.
And fifth in the conference when your boys,
they lost to UConn last year. All right.
Your boys went 10th in the conference and 7-11. They had inverse records of each other.
Florida lost to Missouri by 16 last year. All right. You're going to try to sell me this bucket. They lost to Ole Miss by 17. I mean, come on.
You're lucky I don't have this. I'm pulling it up now. I'm going to take a look at this schedule from a year ago. Now, while I pull this up, I will say, you know, it's fun in the preseason. This is the middle of the SEC is a jumbled mess. So, you know, I can't poke too much fun at your pick. But Florida did beat Arkansas 73-59 last year in the one time they played.
Year one jitters.
I expect more of that. You were looking up all these games. You failed to mention that one, huh?
I was only looking at the losses, buddy. All right.
Look at the wins too. You know, which includes over LSU, includes your Razorbacks, includes Texas A&M, includes number 4 Auburn by 22, includes Ole Miss, includes Alabama, beat Providence.
They also lost to Ole Miss. All right.
Beat Xavier, beat Miami. You know, yeah, they had
Miami
some bad losses.
Miami was not very good last year, buddy. Here. We all know Miami was not very good last year. But you look at my Arkansas squad. They had some great wins in the conference too. All right. First of all, they beat your ACC Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. All right.
They took down
Indiana. You know, Indiana Bobby Knight. They lost to LSU by 2. All right, 2.
Florida beat LSU.
Okay. They beat who else? They beat Bama. They lost to Auburn in overtime. Come on now.
Florida beat Alabama.
That's what I'm saying. But this is year one. Year one nonsense. They lose to Missouri in overtime. At least they took Missouri to overtime. Florida was losing by 20. Yeah, they lost a close game to Florida, but this is year one. All right. This is
a close game.
They beat LSU last year also. They split. Dude, come on. The Razorbacks are primed for a good season here. Year two of the Musselman era. I don't know. Get ready.
We're
buddy.
Having fun here, and you know this conference is going to be fun to watch because it's going to be a lot like this, and you know a lot of these schools they're going to beat some of these teams, they're going to lose to some others. You know, not a lot of separation between a lot of these schools at this point in the conference, and it's just going to continue. And I expect us to have even more differences as we move along here.
So sixth is Florida. Who's your sixth then? Or who, right. You gave your fifth, right?
Oh, my fifth. The Gamecocks, Frank Martin.
Oh,
once again, I'm fading paper rosters, and I'm fading a bunch of newcomers, a bunch of fresh faces that have never played basketball together. This is a team game here. Frank Martin is one of the best coaches in the conference.
I like me some Frank Martin.
Where do you have South Carolina?
I have South Carolina at 8th.
See, everybody sleeps on South Carolina. Last year they went 10-8.
Last year they lost to Boston U.
But they finished 6th in the SEC. So they lose two guys.
And Stetson. They lost to Stetson and Boston U. You're trying to sell me this bucket.
What, dude, look at their finish in the SEC. 6th.
Yeah,
but I don't care what they did out of conference early on. A lot of good coaches use that early season, to get their team whipped into shape. If you know Frank Martin, you're going to be playing for him or you're going to be freaking out the door.
But I also know, like, this is my thing with Frank Martin. I actually like him a lot. I like his toughness. I like his philosophy with coaching, but I also know how do I compare them in football? I would say they're kind of like, like Wisconsin or something to me, where it's like, yeah, they're going to be good at times, but maybe not even Wisconsin is a good, probably not a good example, but how about, I don't know, but they're a team that can lock you down. And I remember last year they beat Kentucky at the buzzer. I watched that game. And yeah, they're good. But at the same time, that very next game, they'll lose to like Vanderbilt because they never get shooters. They're a lot like Bob Huggins teams where it's like, they're great defensively, but at the same time, they never get shooters. So, they're going to have some off nights where they're just going to get killed by some teams.
That's very true. And I come NCAA tournament time, it's probably a team I'll fade, but what we're doing here is we're ranking the regular in conference.
I'm well aware.
A coach like Frank Martin his guys are going to play hard every game. Some of these other teams, that might not be the case.
Well, look, I got him at number 8. That's not, look, I read Sporting News say they had him at 10.
Well, yeah, and then the three man weave has him at 9. I don't know why they finished 6th last year and they bring back their best player in AJ Lawson. They're going to have 4 out of 5 upperclassmen starting, and they got a pretty good depth too. So my pick here is the trust in the coach. The one consistent every year is the coach. And I think Frank Martin is going to exceed expectations once again down in Gamecock land.
Well, they get your boy Chris Collins in Northwestern next weekend. Who you taking?
South Carolina.
I am too. All right, so you got South. That was surprising to me. That was a little bit surprising to me. So who's your 6th?
Auburn.
Okay, because they're my 7th. Because I've already given away we've already talked about Florida, which is my 6th. My 7th is Auburn. We can talk about Bruce Pearl, the ultimate used car salesman. You look at the returning players, you're like, ugh. But these freshmen coming in, man. The freshmen with Cooper and Thor coming in, they should be game changers. Even Chris Moore, I think, and maybe Justin Powell gets in there. What do you like so much about this team?
Yeah, I just mentioned I love the continuity of teams like Florida and South Carolina. That's not what we have at Auburn here. They lose their top 6 guys. What eventually talent can win out. And that's what Auburn has here. Last year they went 12-6 in the conference. They finished 2nd. I don't think they were planning on losing Isaac Okoro to the draft. Maybe some of those other guys too. Yeah, at one point they were 15-0. And now granted, their non-conference schedule last year was abysmal. It was awful. They played nobody. Their best win might have been NC State right down the road here from me. They kind of stumbled towards the end of the year, but a couple of years ago they were in the Final Four, I believe, right?
They were. Same with South Carolina. You're going with the Final Fours back to back.
So hey, Bruce Pearl can coach. He may be a used car salesman, but he's also a hell of a basketball coach.
Hey, I say used car salesman with love. All right, if Bruce Pearl came here, yeah. I'd buy the guy a beer. All right,
exactly. So. Auburn is going to take their bumps this year, but the talent can't be questioned. You know, it looks like they're going to start three sophomores and two freshmen, you know. So expect.
So you have that team behind or ahead of Arkansas. I can't wait. Do. I can't wait for the season, buddy.
I do. I have Arkansas at 8 and Auburn at 6.
I don't know what's going on over there. You know, on Friday, Auburn plays Gonzaga. So they're going to get tested early this year. Actually,
they won't be ready for that game.
Well, actually, that you know their opening schedule is pretty impressive. Well, I know St. Joe's wasn't much last year, but I think St. Joe's actually has some talent on that team. They get St. Joe's, Gonzaga, and UCF, and Johnny Dawkins all before December hits. So,
their scheduling is back assward. You know, this is a year they should have had cupcakes early on, you know, with being so young. Last year they should have played tough teams.
They also later in the year get Baylor out of the Big 12, who might be the best team in the country. All right. Well, you got the Tigers there. I'm interested to watch. It's going to be interesting to see how the newcomers do. Flanagan, Williams, Devin Cambridge.
Thor. Come on, JT Thor.
That's a great name. Great name. Yes.
Big man 6'9". I mean, that's a perfect name for a big man. JT Thor.
I got you. So Auburn's my 7th team. So who's your 17 then?
Alabama.
Okay. So we were there in 8. You have Arkansas. 8. I have South Carolina. Correct. Let me go ahead and tell you that the college experience is brought to you by Thrive Fantasy. Come prop up on Thrive Fantasy this season. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports app for player props. With Thrive, you can eliminate the countless hours of research and focus on only the top tier athletes that have the biggest impact on the game. If it's NFL, choose 10 of the available 20 player props to build your lineup. If it's PGA, MLB, or esports, you choose 5 of the available 10 player props to build your lineup. Each prop is assigned a fantasy value for both the over and the under and how likely it is to hit the most props, rack up the most points to win a share of the prize pool. Thrive has over $50,000 in guaranteed prizes weekly and has awarded over $1.6 million in cash prizes. Use the promo code SGP when you sign up today and you'll receive an instant match up to $50 on your first deposit with the 4x rollover. Download Thrive Fantasy at the App Store or Google Play Store or by visiting their website, www.thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and prop up today. And don't forget that promo code SGP. And by the way, Alan Cooley's been hollering at them. They might have some college football and college basketball coming around the corner. All right. So I think we're at
9.
9 for you is who?
Texas A&M.
Interesting. We are all over the place here.
Who's your 9th?
My 9 is Ole Miss.
Okay. Well, so I'm going Texas A&M because I'm a big Buzz Williams fan. I mean, personally, I think he's probably an asshole. I probably couldn't stand him in person, but I believe in him as a coach. You know.
Well, I believe that their schedule got a little easier when they ducked playing West Virginia on opening night and canceled that game.
Either way, that wouldn't have anything to do with their conference record. So, probably a smart move because they're pretty young. You know, last year they were real young and they were undersized, and he still overachieved. They went 10-8 in conference and finished 7th. They do lose their leading scorer in Josh Nebo to graduation, but I do like Savion Flagg, the 6'7" wingman. I think he's in store for a big year. And once again, this on paper the roster doesn't stand out and scream, you know, great team here. But I believe in Buzz Williams. He's going to get these guys. He's got these two rising sophomores.
I think he will get them believing some because this is like Auburn's out of conference schedule a year ago. New Orleans, Tarleton State, UTR. What is this? UT Rio Grande. UT Rio Grande, TCU, and then Southeast Louisiana and Wofford. Wofford might bite them.
Yeah, especially early on, you know, because like I said, they are still pretty young. But they also have a transfer coming in from Quinnipiac, who will help right away at center. So, yeah, you know, once again, I think this is an overachieving team from a coach that demands nothing but, you know, bust your ass all the time. And I'm going to take teams like that. I'm going to ride coaches like that.
So let me ask you this. Where do you have Ole Miss?
I have Ole Miss at 11.
Come on, this guy. This guy.
They lose two of the top three scorers. Their coach just went down with COVID.
Well, that is an issue. But they're getting Romello White from Arizona State. The guy averaged 10.9 boards a season ago. Then you're bringing in, their whole lineup is good. They're six deep in scorers and rebounders, athleticism. I'm going to disagree here, man. Look, Devontae Shuler back at the two, KJ Buffin at the four spot. Kadeem Sy off the bench. You're counting on. Now I know they're getting some transfers that you bring up a good point about. Yeah, at Cal State Bakersfield, you might be able to average 16 points a game, but in the SEC, maybe it's down to 7-8, perhaps. But I like this team, and I think they got scorers and they got options, and I like that in college basketball. So
Ole Miss was 6-12 last year, 12th in the conference. They lose two of their top three scorers in Tyree and Henson. And they are projecting to have three transfers, fresh faces. These aren't players that sat out a year and were with the program last year. These are brand new to Oxford, Mississippi. Three of the top five or three out of the starting five are transfers. And you have a coach who's been out for a couple of weeks with COVID. I don't like that recipe.
It's non-conference time. Kermit Davis has got a great recipe when it comes to tournament time. You might remember. Ask Michigan State fans how it felt when Kermit Davis in Middle Tennessee came in there and that was a 2-15 matchup and gave them an L.
You know, I like the transfer of Romello White coming in from Arizona State. He's a solid player, but the rest of the guys I don't know anything about, from Ryder, from CS Bakersfield. Once again, I don't. This coach may have done well with the mid-major team, but he hasn't earned my trust yet in the SEC. And I'm not a believer in so much roster turnover, that kind of overhaul, just coming in and gelling immediately. And a lot of times that just doesn't happen. So until Ole Miss can prove it to me otherwise, I expect them to improve their record from last year in conference by a couple games. But no, I'm not all that high on them.
Okay, so at nine you have who? Because eight's A&M, right?
No, at nine was A&M.
Okay, eight
was
Arkansas. So who do you have at 10?
Mizzou.
We have the same team. Holy shit!
Finally,
I actually think Mizzou could be a little bit of a player in this conference.
Same here. They have some interesting pieces.
It would not shock me. I know you talked before about what's his name. Buzz Williams. I would not shock me. I mean, I look at this schedule and I'm like, whoa, or this schedule, this projection, this team. And I'm like, why can't I think Missouri's in a way I could make the case that they're better than a lot of the teams that we projected ahead of them.
I totally agree. Yeah. They were a tied for 10th in the conference last year, 7-11, but they're really, bringing it back here. They lose a couple guys, but they were pretty deep on the bench, so not a big loss there. And it's really about the backcourt for them. They got three upperclassmen guards. They all average over 10 points a game. Their perimeter is dynamite. I do worry about the interior, and that's where things are lacking. But they start four upperclassmen. Quanza Martin's a good coach. I wanted to have them hire two. There were just so many teams there with not a lot of separation between them. So that's why I could only fit Mizzou in at 10th, but
they also have more depth than at least more experienced depth than we're seeing from a lot of programs.
They could go nine deep. Yeah. They certainly could. But once again, most of these players are perimeter players. So, they're a really short team height wise, just a couple guys that are 6'10". And then after that, you're really going down to 6'7" or so. So I do worry about interior. I worry about rebounding. They're not a complete team, but you got to love the backcourt. And, college basketball guards go a long way.
Yeah. So that will be exciting. They have a pretty tough out of conference schedule. I know they open up with Oral Roberts, but then they don't play for about 10 days, and then they get Wichita State. I know Wichita State's in some turmoil, but after that they get Liberty, which won 30 some games a season ago, and then the Illini, the Fighting Illini, who I think will be a player in the Big Ten. They also draw Bradley, who's won the Missouri Valley the past 2 years.
Wow, good games.
Yeah. So. And they also get TCU as well, Jamie Dixon squad. I'm excited to watch the Tigers. I do have them at 10, and I think I can make a great case for them finishing seventh, maybe even sixth.
Yeah. They could certainly overachieve, definitely.
All right, so 11. Hit me with 11.
I already did. Ole Miss.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay, well, my 11th team is I'm going to go up to Starkville. You're in Oxford. I'm going to go to Starkville. I know they don't return much, but I trust Ben Howland. I think Ben Howland is an underrated coach. I think he kind of got a bad rap at UCLA. Got a raw deal. Yeah, they struggled. They weren't flashy, but he got them to what, two Final Fours?
Something like that, right?
Yeah, I think it was two in a row, right? Or two in 4 years or something like that.
Sure. Yeah, sounds right. Just go with it.
Well, look, I know they lose Reggie Perry. I know
nobody's going to, you know, check your math or check your stats. Let's go with it.
I know they lose Reggie Perry and Tyson Carter, Nick Weatherspoon, as well as Robert Woodard from a season ago. But, and you look and you say, I don't know, man, there's not much depth. They get an Alabama transfer, which is kind of crazy because within conference, but I think the Louisiana people don't realize Louisiana Lafayette was actually really good the past couple of years in the Sun Belt. And Jalen Johnson was a lot of that reasoning. I think Jalen Johnson will fit in and play fine in the SEC level. I think they're going to need a big season out of DJ Stewart, but I think he can give it to you. Iverson, Molinar. That's a big question mark to me. I need to see him. Obviously the freshman Davion Smith is the real oil to make this engine work. But I just trust the coaching here. This is a coaching play.
Yeah, I have them at 13, I think, and it just due to how much they lost. They lost their top four players, including Reggie Perry, who is all SEC. I do like the coach. They have some pieces, and if that transfer can fit in and the true freshman Smith can fit in at point guard, they could make me eat my words here because they could finish higher. Once again, at this point in the conference, it's so tough to rank these guys in the preseason. For me, I ranked them 13th just because they lost so much. I think everything is pointing towards a rebuilding season down there in Stark Vegas. Maybe these transfers can help, you know, keep the ship afloat, but.
Hail State, baby.
Do what?
Hail State.
Sounds good. Will Mormon, right?
That shout out to Will Mormon.
There you go. Yeah, man.
Hell of a good guy. Covers a lot of sports over at the sportsgamblingpodcast.com, and also joins me on Saturday morning Periscopes with college football. Maybe I can get him to join college basketball too.
It's nice to hear a Southern accent on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. You know, a bunch of West Coasters and Northeasters for the most part.
That's true. But you know, what can I say? Look, we don't discriminate against anybody. All right. Except for the Ivy League teams that don't want to play basketball because of a virus, you know, at number 12, actually, before I get to number 12, I'll tell you that the college experience is brought to you by Ace Per Head. You ever thought about starting your own sports book, but don't know how? Well, guess what? Ace Per Head is here to help you start your own sports book. They'll provide you with an all-inclusive professional betting site with all the lines updated to the second and wagers graded immediately. They have top-notch customer support going 24/7 and some of the sharpest lines in the industry. Plus, Ace Per Head offers live betting and an amazing mobile experience. Get started today, and Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free. Just go to aceperhead.com/SGP. That is aceperhead.com/SGP. Here we are in the trenches. My number 12 team is Texas A&M, so I don't need to talk about them.
My number 12 is Georgia.
Tom Crean. You think Tom Crean's going to take these guys and be better than Mississippi State? He had the first pick in the draft and he couldn't even get in the tournament last year. This guy can't coach himself out of a paper bag. And you're trying to sell me this?
Well, I like the fact that PJ Horn from Virginia Tech's coming in. You know, obviously Anthony Edwards is going to hurt, but they got some transfers coming in and a lot of new faces. You know, some of the guys return and leave a lot to be desired. You know, that's which is why I have them all the way down here at 12. But while I look at this, I'm going to do something that I rarely do and listen to your punk ass. I'm going to switch. I do have Mississippi State at 12 and Georgia at 13. I'm making that change right now. There's no rules here. I can make this change because I want to.
let me ask you this. What's worse, not making the NCAA tournament or not even being anywhere close to that with the first pick of the draft and Anthony Edwards, or starting Jake Fromm over Justin Fields?
I think the latter might be worse. I don't know, man. You know, in basketball, yeah, you can have one player. If you're a one-man team, you might not make the tournament. Now, they didn't even sniff the tournament. They weren't even close last year. Georgia was 5-13.
They needed a three by Edwards at the buzzer to beat Chaminade.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a Division II school.
Yeah, Tom Crean's his seat is warming up. I don't know why I had him over Mississippi State. Let me make I'm making that change right now. So, okay. So that's my 12th and 13th school or schools. I expect a long year in Athens. Where are you now? Where are you on?
Wait, so my 13th school is Georgia as well.
Okay. And we both have Vandy last.
Yeah. All right. So if you're a Georgia fan, I will give you a quick break. You mentioned PJ Horn coming in, and they also have a George Mason transfer, Justin Keir.
Yeah,
NC Nick is a George Mason graduate. So, you know, what happened to your boy? He left for Georgia? George Mason's made a Final Four way more recently than George Mason's won a tournament game multiple years in the past 15 years.
You know, I don't know why you're going to go from a blue blood program like George Mason to a football school like Georgia Bulldogs. I don't know, man. It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. Bulldog fans, you better hope Horn and Keir and perhaps Wheeler at the point guard spot can really get the Bulldogs biting. Perhaps that Stony Brook transfer, Andrew Garcia, can have you guys working out. So we get to 14. And I actually think you can make the case. I think, you know, 14 could be better than 13 here. Why are we sold on Georgia being better than Vanderbilt? Why is everyone, every publication I read says Vanderbilt's going to come in dead last? I don't know that I buy it. I mean, this was a team that was at times pretty competitive last year.
Yeah. You know, I'm assuming so Vandy finished last year, which is one of the main reasons why
they were injured, man. They got really injured last year.
Right. Aaron Neesmith, who was just drafted. He was the best player last year. I think he only played about half the season, but so obviously he's gone. And when he was not playing, when he was injured last year, they struggled big time. So now with him, not even, you know, on campus, they're going to struggle this year. They also lose Saban Lee, who was one of their leading scorers also. So they lose two of their big players. Scottie Pippen Jr. is a nice player, and I do like the transfer coming in from Notre Dame, DJ Harvey.
Yeah, he was good at Notre Dame.
He was, yeah. He's a really solid player. So with Pippen and Harvey, I mean that's not a bad start.
Dude, this roster is better than Georgia's roster.
Yeah, you know, you get a Rice transfer coming in.
I'm switching. You switch one. I'm switching one. I'm putting Vanderbilt at 13, Georgia at 14.
I'm doing the same thing. I'm riding with you, man.
I love it. We're drinking beverages over here. We're talking SEC basketball. Give me the Commodores at number 13. And I even think there's opportunity for them to push A&M and Mississippi State.
Disagree. Not A&M. Buzz is going to finish higher. But can you tell me why Scottie Pippen Jr. is only 6'1"? His dad was like 6'7".
Are we sure that's his dad? I know Scottie Pippen comes to these games, but I'm saying I've done a DNA check. You sure Judd Butchler didn't have sex with Scottie Pippen's wife? Maybe BJ Armstrong slid in.
Steve Kerr, maybe.
Maybe 6'1". Randy Brown, maybe a little Randy Brown action.
Is he a really good shooter? Because then maybe Craig Hodges.
Oh man, Jerry Stackhouse year two in Nashville. I'm excited to watch it, man. I hope Jerry Stackhouse does good.
So, that's one of the big question marks, is how good of a coach Stackhouse is.
Well, I mean, it's hard to tell. Year one, they struggled, but they got killed. Sure. They by injuries.
I'm certainly not writing him off. I'm just saying he's unproven, and that's a big question mark. That's all I'm saying. You know, I mean, he is a UNC Tar Heel, so I'm not rooting for the guy, but I'm not rooting against him either. I'm just curious as, you know, to see what he can do. I mean, Vanderbilt's a hard place to win, you know, but they have some nice pieces. Like I mentioned, Harvey and Pippen, that's going to be a pretty good backcourt there.
Yeah. I'm excited to watch the Commodores, man. I hope they have a good season. Look, they get killed in football. Give them some basketball love here, you know? Come on.
Exactly.
Come on, SEC. They also bring in what, Kansas transfer Isaac McBride coming in there. It'll be interesting to watch what the Commodores do. All right, guys, this is the College Experience. If you're a first time listener, we handicap every single Division I college football and college basketball game. Yes, every single one. We put it on a spreadsheet over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Give it away for free. On the website and also on our Twitter accounts. But yes, we are. And we've been over 500 every single season, picking every college football game, every college basketball game. We also give our locks for free, which are way over 500. So that's why you should subscribe to College Experience. We're available on all platforms you listen to podcasts at. So please do yourself that favor and do that. Do yourself that favor, because we'll win you money. But also we don't charge for picks, and we won't charge for picks. We're going to just base it off. We need your kindness. All right. Give me some kindness in the world. Look, everyone's got COVID. Everyone's sitting at home for forever. You're stuck in your house, your apartment, whatever it may be. So if you could just get over to iTunes, give us a 5-star review, because that's essentially how we get paid. Sponsors often look at the comments, and they would dive into our comments, see that people are talking, and say, "Hey, I guess people like these idiots. Let's give them some money." We give you more breakdowns on college football, college basketball year round. We are the College Experience. Please do that. Leave a 5-star review. And if you do, if you're kind enough to do that, take a screenshot, tag me at the Colby D or on Twitter. And I'll enter you I'll get you a free College Experience shirt. Essentially, I'll put you in a raffle, but you're going to win. It's a jaded game. All right. This is like a David Stern NBA draft lottery. All right. It's a jaded game. All right. Kwame
Brown, that cold envelope.
Yeah. I got that cold envelope. You're going to get a College Experience t-shirt. It just matters if it's going to be that week or the next week or the week after that. You will win. Just please do that. Thank you very much. And NC Nick is on Twitter at NC_NICK. He writes a lot of great columns over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. He does a lot of DFS. If you want to play DraftKings with us, SEC fans, come on, come play DraftKings with us. All right. We love college football. Every Thursday night, Friday morning, we do a DraftKings episode. I almost won 10 grand. I was like 5 minutes away from winning 10 grand last Saturday. Still walked away with 280. And I gave away that lineup on me and NC Nick's DFS show. So you're going to want to come play with us. We're also going to do this for college basketball. Come on. Life's too short, guys. Let's have some fun. You got a virus wiping out millions, allegedly, right? Might as well just gamble. You know what I mean? Play some DraftKings. Patty C, our third, our other co-host, former JMU Duke defensive back. He's on Twitter at Patty C 831. Give him a follow. We are part of the Sports Gambling Podcast. They're on Twitter at the SGP Network. Check out all their great work over there. And yeah, this 5 days away. 5 days away. This is the College Experience, SEC style. You better start thinking about yours. And we out.